topic of today is the church. The purpose of the church, us, here, what are we here for? The purpose of the church and church growth. And church growth is a topic that spurns so many questions. And as members of the church, we look and we look and we look and we try to think, why, you know, what can we do? What can we do to grow? But there, first of all, I want to tell you, there was a young man at a church, and he's standing in the hallway, and he's looking at all these pictures on the wall, and hundreds of pictures on the wall. This church of about 1,000 people. And the pastor walks up to him and says, hey, what you looking at? He says, I'm looking at all these pictures, but I don't know any of these people. He said, who are all these people? And he said, well, this is a memorial wall for all the people, all the members of our church who died in the service. And the boy thought for a second, He got a little frown on his face, and he said, man, that's awful. He said, what do you mean awful? He said, which service did they die in, the 8 o'clock or the 10:30? Some people have a perception. Let us soak in just a little bit. Some people have a perception of the church that way. They think, boy, it's just dead. You ever get that feeling sitting in a service? The church. What are we here for? What is our purpose? Do we have goals as a church? Well, how do the people around us in our communities, how do they view us as individuals and as a group? Do they want what we have? These are all great questions. So the church in general, the first church, we know which church that was? That was the disciples. The church was formed when the disciples spoke. Historically, the church exploded into existence before there were mega churches to mimic or copy, you know, because these mega churches, we think, wow, they're really growing. They've got 4,500 people. What do we need to do that they're doing? We think that. No. The church exploded before there were programs for youth, before there were small groups. The disciples didn't have degrees. They spoke the word from the heart. They didn't have seminars to go to. They didn't have praise bands. They didn't have overhead projectors and electronics. Not that these things are bad. I'm just saying that the first church didn't have these things. They didn't have hymnals or choirs, or choir robes. They didn't have staff. They didn't have church staff or buildings or assets. All they had, what did they have?
The Word.
They had the Word, and they had God. They had the Holy Spirit. They had a driving force that we have also. So why? Why did they grow so explosively? They had God alone to depend upon. The church grew when each of the disciples and the believers worked as a team to spread the good news, to spread the gospel, and then God moved. We did the work of spreading the good news, and God moved and grew the church. So we need to understand that it is God that grows the church. So, have you ever asked yourself, why am I here? This text comes from a time after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And all the people are gathering around the disciples. And they're all in awe of what's going on and what's being said. And they learn what is needed, what they need to do after they kill Jesus. So here, let's start Acts 2, verse 40. Let's just start there and you can read along with me. And with many other words, he, being Peter, warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this wicked world. Some texts say corrupt generation. Verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That very day. I'm going to pause there for a second. Can you imagine 3,000 people in one day being led to Christ, sometimes we as a congregation, we lose track of how to bring people to Christ. And we don't see it. Sometimes we're blinded. Not intentionally, and not maliciously. We're just blinded. We're in a comfortable place, and we like to stay there. But I've tried to picture 3,000 people being baptized in a lake. That's awesome. And it's confusing to us. There was an old farmer got off his tractor one afternoon, and he's walking down the highway. And he walks off on the side road. He's going to go check one of his 40s. And he's walking along, and there's a pond. And he's used to that pond being there, but he'd never seen anybody there. And he happened to see out in the pond, there were some people. And they were splashing about and flailing around. Well, his vision wasn't perfect, so he went running out to see if he could help. He thought maybe they were having problems and drowning. So he runs out into the water. And when he gets to a guy to say, you know, are you okay? Before he can get a word out, the guy grabs him and throws him underwater. Yanks him back up and says, brother, did you find Jesus? And he says, no. So he throws him underwater again and he holds him down. He's down there about 5 seconds. He pulls him up again. Brother, did you find Jesus? He says, no. He pulls him over the other side and he throws him down. He holds him down there for about 10 seconds. And he pulls him up. Brother, have you found Jesus? The old boy says, are you sure this is where he fell in? Thank you. Let's pick back up. Acts 2, verse 42. They, being the disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their properties and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number, when?
Daily.
Those who were being saved. It seems to me like church growth is not an option. We live by those standards. It's going to happen. It's a necessity. Well, we're here, right? So what is our purpose? Is it to tend to ourselves? Partly. Is it to tend to our brothers and sisters in the community?
Yes.
Partly. Is that the biggest part? I don't think so. We're not called just to be a church of survival. How many times have you ever heard the phrase, or even said yourself, when somebody says, hey, how's your church doing? You say, oh, we're hanging in there. You ever said that? You ever heard that? Yeah. I've said it myself. Yeah, we're hanging in there. Or we're holding our own. That's survival mode. A survival mode. We need to be a revival mode. We need to take the word to the people. We've been given a commission to do so. If you look in Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 16, 15 to 16, this is a familiar scripture. Most of you will know it. This is the commission. Jesus says in verse 15, Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. This scripture is considered to be the Great Commission. So what is a commission? Well, in the dictionary, the commission is a formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. Through this Great Commission, have been granted power and authority by Jesus to tell others the good news. Isn't that awesome? Did you know that statistically, less than 3% in America of proclaiming Christians. These are people who proclaim Christ. Less than 3% have actually brought someone else to Christ. So it leads me to the take-home points of this message. We all like anagrams, words that each letter of the word means something, you know, like, a good way to pray. Remember the word part. Use P-A-R-T, part. Praise, you want to praise God. Praise Him first. Mm-hmm. Then ask. Ask for your needs. Ask for the things. Then repent. Repent of your wrongdoings. And then thank you. Praise, ask, repent, thank. We all like that. So these are the E's of church growth. We go back to verse 40. And with many other words did they testify, warning them, saying, save yourselves from this wicked world. And those that heard and believed were baptized. And the Lord, God did the work, the Lord added to their number about 3,000 that day. So evangelism is the first E. Evangelism is the heartbeat of God and is our responsibility to our society to bring the good news to them. So what we need to be doing in our evangelism is building bridges to those who are lost. Right? So we need to be building bridges of evangelism instead of walls of isolation for ourselves. I know I've been guilty of building walls around myself, protecting me from the world, while at the same time enclosing in the good news that God wants me to throw out there. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means Jesus came to seek and save out the lost, didn't he? And he gave us the authority to do just that. Our evangelism work needs to stir a hunger and a curiosity in those that we work with. Do they want what we have? Are we conveying a presence of God that they can desire? Do they look at us and say, man, I want what they got. That looks really good. I want what they have. There was a boy walking down, another boy, walking down a dirt road from the store, and he's carrying a pot of honey. And he's walking along, and he's dipping his finger in the honey. And since his mom told him not to wipe his sticky fingers on his shirt or pants, his sticky finger made its way to its only possible resting place, his mouth, right? And there was a man walking along next to him who happened to look over and see him. He says, so the man walks over and he says, hey, what you got there? And the kid says, honey. He's still, you know, licking it. He says, well, is it sweet? And the boy says, why, yes, it's sweet. He says, well, how sweet is it? The boy says, it's really sweet. He says, the man says, you don't understand what I'm asking you, how sweet is the honey? And the kid says, it's very sweet. He says, well, you're starting to frustrate me. I ask you how sweet the honey is, and all you're telling me is it's very sweet. Is it sweet? And the kid says, it's very, very sweet. He says, I don't know what else to do. I don't understand you. I don't understand you saying it's very, very sweet. Finally, the boy dips his finger in the honey and he holds it up and he says, taste it for yourself. How else can you find out how sweet it is unless you taste it yourself?
That's true.
Right? The product of our evangelism is those wanting a taste. So we go. We take the message. We give them a taste of the Lord, and they will see for themselves just exactly how sweet He is. And God will do what? He'll grow that seed. We plant the seed, he grows it. E number two is encouragement. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Fellowship is a key element of church. It's a mainstay. It's a beautiful thing. Fellowship for us Christians is a way that we build encouragement for each other. We build biblical knowledge with each other. We learn about each other. We hold each other account in fellowship. But it's mainly the growth that we have this fellowship for. And new Christians, they need to see this fellowship. They need to witness this fellowship in action to encourage them as well. The third E is edify. To edify literally means to instruct or to improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. We need Bible studies. We need church services. We need small groups. If we're to watch God grow us, we need these things together to edify us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up in the Lord. Edification isn't an option. It's a necessity. Our hunger for the Word will be infectious to those around us. If we get into the Word and we desire it, and we study it, and it builds us up, the people around us are going to see that. The fourth E is exaltation. This is one of my favorite ones. Acts 2:42 and 43. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Exaltation. Prayer is a form of exalting God. Praising and singing is another form of exalting God. Psalm 34:3 says, glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt him and his name together. Isaiah 25 says, Lord, you are my God, and I will exalt you and praise your name forever. Has the Lord done anything for you? Exalt him. Do you have a testimony of your own? Exalt him. Use that testimony and exalt him. Do you have a song in your heart? I know I do. Exalt him. Lift him up. Is Jesus your Savior?
Amen.
Exalt him. Has the Holy Spirit moved in you? Exalt him. He's awesome. Exalt him before heaven and earth so that his name will be glorified. Simple. The fifth and final E of the E's of purpose in church growth is equip. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. But why? Verse 12. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I'm seeing purpose here. I'm seeing purpose come out of the scripture. I don't know about you, but I can't build anything without proper equipment and instruction. We cannot be equipped without God. We verify that God builds the church. But we cannot be equipped without God, the Word of God. And we can use these E's to help us be equipped. We can use evangelism. We can use encouragement. We can use edification, we can use exaltation, and then we're equipped. So that, my friends, is what we're here for. We're here to plant seeds, to go, to take the word to the people. So let's pray that God will open our hearts and search our souls and change our focus back into alignment with Him. We need to have a faith in God. We need to have a faith in God that says that He is greater than anything that we could possibly do or imagine. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. God is the same all the time. The message is true no matter where we are in our walk. It's time to praise His holy name, exalt His majesty, and time to proclaim His saving grace to a dying world. Amen?
Amen.
I think we can do that. You know, you may say to yourself, why would God use me? You know, I don't really think He's going to use me. I've done some pretty bad things, and I'm still wondering if He's going to forgive me for them. You're a child of God. If you proclaimed your love for Christ and your belief in Him, that He died for you on the cross, you're a child of God.
Amen. That's right.
I learned, I don't know, in the last 15 years or so, just how much God loves me. I mean, I can reflect and look back on many times when I should have been gone. I shouldn't even be here, standing, alive. My own stupidity, things that I've done, and I'm sure some of you can probably relate, but you're a child of God. It's an awesome thing to proclaim. So I'm gonna share with you a song called "I Am Your Child." Thank you. Gracious Father, you are amazing. We stand in awe of you. Your mercy, your grace, your wonders, your provision is all more than sufficient for us. It is by your strength that we do all things. Pray that you be with this message. May it fall on the ears that need to hear it. May it be accepted. May you move us to the point of change. In the name of Jesus, amen.